Welcome back to Caddies in Bethesda. We are live in Maryland ahead of the NFC Championship game. Grant and Danny on the Fan, no Danny today. Toby Altizer's with me. Eric Pickles hanging out. You'll hear more from him in just a bit. We'll have Jay Gruden swinging by the show at 5 o'clock today as we game plan on our little radio show for how we'd stop Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles. But right now, on the Rude Guest Hotline, we find our buddy Trey Wingo, presented by DraftKings. Trey, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. We appreciate it. We're getting ready for championship football, and I don't think I need to tell you this, but this city is a buzz at this juncture.
Grant, it should be, man. It's been a long time since 1991, and you have a real bright spot there in Jaden Daniels. And by the way, if you can figure out how to stop Saquon Barkley, tell everybody, because nobody's been able to do that.
Yeah, I don't have the antidote. I don't know that Joe Witt Jr. does either, unfortunately. But here's what I'm banking on, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Trey. I think they could still beat Philly if Barkley goes for 145, 150. They have beaten the Eagles and almost beaten the Eagles in two games where he's done that this year. I just feel like it's a Jalen Hurts scenario for me. Is he healthy enough to really be a weapon? That's the question.
Well, it is and it isn't, right? Because it becomes a question if he has to be a weapon. And, you know, because he really hasn't had to be a weapon because of that offensive line and because of everything that Saquon has done. So whatever you want to do defensively, you want to make Jalen Hurts have to be a weapon because they haven't needed him to be a weapon, and they still managed to win some of these games, even though it was a little sloppy against the Rams. And honestly, I think it was very fortunate, by the way, for the Eagles that there was snow in that game, because if that had been an even track, the way the Rams like to move the ball up and down the field, I think they could have been in trouble against the Rams, the Eagles defense. So, you know, I think it was to their benefit that it was such a sloppy track, and it sort of took away some of the things that the Rams do really well. All
Trey,
that being said, we're just talking about the number one scoring and number one total defense, guys. Those are hard things to overcome in the postseason.
Trey, you look at that passing game with Jalen, assuming he's going to be good to go. And
what passing game?
But Marshawn Lattimore was on A.J. Brown last time, and it did not go well.
Yeah.
Do you expect that they're going to change that strategy up? You expect them? What do you expect them to do defensively in the pass game?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to do something. Marshawn, this is why you traded for him, right? This is why you go get a guy like that for a matchup against for a game like this. You know, you just hope that A.J. doesn't channel his inner excellence and have a quiet game and is content reading on the sidelines. Listen, to me, it's really simple. Let me put it this way. It's simple to say what has to happen. It's not simple to do what has to happen. They've got to sell out. They have to sell out against the run and make Jalen beat you. Make him have hot throws to Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and hit Dallas Goedert a million times. You know, you got to put 6-7 up front and just say 3 yards at a time, 3 yards at a time. I know this is going to sound stupid and a little like Micah Parsons after one of the Cowboys games, but if you took away those two long runs by Saquon Barkley in that game against the Rams, they did a pretty decent job up front. And they sacked him, what, six times, Jalen Hurts? I thought the big bad offensive line of the Eagles in that game did not play like the big bad offensive line. And I thought the Rams front seven really handled them pretty well. They just they gave up the two big plays.
How do you think Washington will do against Jalen Carter without starting guard Sam Cosmi?
Not well. I mean, that guy's a beast, man. And, you know, for all the things that the Eagles didn't do well in that game, he came up with that big play, the punch out, when they had to have it. So he's a real – and Cosmi is a very underrated player. Like, he is so good and has been so good for you guys. It's a big loss because the size of the Eagles' defensive tackles is just not normal. They are big, big people. And you know, they've sort of made their living this season by dominating both lines of scrimmage, which I didn't think they did in the game against the Rams. But with Cosmi out, that becomes a much bigger issue and much more of a pressure point for Washington.
when you look at both of these teams, they've had a 6-0 turnover margin in their first two games in the playoffs. You know, it seems like Washington's been up to the task. They have not blinked. You've seen Philly, obviously, up to the task. They haven't blinked. Do you think one of these teams just doesn't, you know, has some of those mistakes this game, and that's the differentiator? Or do you think this is going to be a clean ball game and the better team wins?
Well, it's really weird, right? Because this is the first time on Championship Sunday ever that all four teams playing have not committed a playoff turnover, which it's just so unusual. None for the Rams. I mean, none for the Eagles, none for the Commanders, none for the Chiefs, and none for Buffalo. I mean, you got clean games to get you here. And, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of pressure on Jaden. And you go back and look at the game that they won late in the season. You know, they were, let's just be honest, fans were a little fortunate there. Devontae Smith dropped the pass that should have ended the game. And then the Commanders had a second opportunity, and they took advantage of it. But this has to be not only can it be a turnover-free game for Washington, it has to be a mistake-free game. And those are two different things, right? Obviously, turnovers can be mistakes. You can't miss open receivers. You know, like in the game at the time, you know, James made almost everything, missed the layup. Zach Ertz on the goal line. If he's open like that, you can't miss him. So, what's been really interesting about watching Jaden go through this rookie season is that I think he has not really sort of any scar tissue in there. You know what I mean? He all he knows is success outside of that 3-game losing streak. And the way they sort of closed the season from week 15 on with those last second wins, there's a lot of things that go, oh, it'll just work out. And sometimes what you don't know is as important as what you do know. And I think right now Jaden and offense are playing very freely because they don't have disappointment. They don't have the stars that have been there for the fans all these years trying to see this franchise, one of the keystone franchises in the NFL, by the way, get back into the limelight. And I think that more than anything, I think can really help the Commanders in this game because all Jaden knows is success. He doesn't know disappointment. And why would you worry about it if you don't ever have to deal with it?
Trey Wingo is with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Trey, when Washington has the football, they have not been able to run the ball effectively until they played Detroit for about a 6.5-week span here. Do you think they fix something in their running game with their backs, or do you think the Lions are that bad stopping the run?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it was the latter. I mean, let's go look at the game, right? A couple things. At one point, the Lions had 16 defensive players on injured reserve. 16. If you just do the math, that's 11 starters and 5 backups on one side of the ball. Now, they got Alex Anzalone back, and that certainly helped. But, you know, since the start of the 2023 season, guys, the Lions have averaged 30.2 points per game, which was best in the NFL. In that playoff game against the Commanders, they scored 31, which was just above their average, but they gave up 45. And obviously some of that was the pick six at the end of the half that Jared Goff threw. But that tells you that they were a defensive liability. And look, the Commanders did what you should do against a bad defense. Take advantage of those situations and put up points, which is exactly what they did. But I'm not going to sit here and say they've got it all figured out, especially when you're going up against the run defense that the Philadelphia Eagles present, which is a significantly bigger challenge.
Trey, we've seen Jaden look totally different in the two matchups that they played Philadelphia. The first matchup was arguably his worst matchup of the year, and then the second time he looked incredible in that second half. A big difference was obviously health for Jaden, but they blitzed a lot more in that second matchup. What do you expect the Eagles to do defensively, you know, learning from those two matchups?
Well, listen, you know, I think they want to try and rattle him early. I mean, that's what I would try and do, and you know, I don't know if he's rattleable at this point, the way he's gone about it. And just to put in perspective how different this run is with Jaden Daniels as a rookie quarterback as opposed to the other 5 rookie quarterbacks that have made it to a conference championship game, the scoring defense for the Washington Commanders is 18th in the NFL, which is really just a tick below average, okay? Every other rookie quarterback that has made it to starting a championship Sunday, their scoring defense has been either first or third. That's it. You know, Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco, Sean King, Brock Purdy, all these guys that made it to Championship Sunday as rookie quarterbacks all had this unbelievable defense that really carried them. And then the quarterback was just sort of there. It's the exact opposite with Jaden Daniels. He's the reason they're there. And I think that gives you a little bit more hope as well. He's going to have to make the right decision and the correct decision and do it quickly against this defense.
All right, Trey, so who do you think wins not only Washington, Philly, but the AFC Championship game? What's your Super Bowl matchup look like?
Well, let me be clear. I love D.C. My son went to Georgetown. You know, I am all in on D.C. It's hard to go against the Eagles at home. I'll give you another number that concerns me. The Eagles have the number one scoring and total defense through the playoffs and through the regular season, and they're at home. In the last 20 years, when that situation has been presented on Championship Sunday, those teams are 4-0, and they're 7-2 all-time in that situation in the Super Bowl era. It is really hard to go on the road in the postseason and beat a team at home with those kind of defensive numbers. Is it possible? Yes. So I am leaning towards Philadelphia. And in the other matchup, I would just say I'll be out on the Chiefs when they're dead and buried. Until they're dead and buried, I am riding them like you would not believe. And look, they never were the best team last year until they won every playoff game and decided it was their time to do it. And I just think their entire season has been just, can we get to this point? I feel like the entire regular season has been them just playing with their food. And all they wanted to do is get to this point, to do what no one's ever done. Forget winning 3 Super Bowls. No one has ever even made it back to a third straight Super Bowl with the opportunity to win a third one. And I think they're on the verge of history, and I think history is with Kansas City.
Real quick, Trey, this seems like a different Buffalo team, though, a team that can actually run the football. It's not all on Josh Allen. Is that something where if they run the football effectively, kind of limit some of the possessions in this game, you could see it going their way, or is it KC just plays too well?
Look, nothing would surprise me in the AFC Championship game. If the Bills win, I'm not going to be like, oh, where did that come from? They're a very capable team. I'll tell you two things that concern me. Number one, the injury nobody's talking about, and they really should. Safety Taylor Rapp is out, which means you got a rookie safety back there in the AFC Championship game. Trust me, I think Andy Reid's going to find ways to exploit that. And the other thing that no one is talking about in this situation with Buffalo is that Sean McDermott, as good as he's been, has had some real brain farts in the postseason, okay? 13 seconds left a couple of years ago in the divisional round. Why did you kick it in the back of the end zone? Last year in the divisional round against the Chiefs, at home, in Buffalo, he went for a fake punt, guys, inside his own 35-yard line in the fourth quarter. And Mecole Hardman doesn't fumble that ball at the goal line. The Chiefs probably win by double digits. So I'm a much bigger believer in Andy Reid in these moments than I am in Sean McDermott.
Trey, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy Championship Sunday.
I will. I hope I'm wrong. Go Commanders.
Thanks, Trey. We appreciate you, buddy. There's Trey Wingo of DraftKings joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. No Danny today. We're taking you up to 6:30 at Caddy's in Bethesda. You wait till you hear what some Brave Commanders fans did in Philly overnight. That is getting some national attention. That is next on The Fan.